Welcome to Copper Country Today. We're heard Sunday mornings at 7 o'clock on 97.7 The Wolf, 8 o'clock on AM 1400 WCCY, and 9 o'clock on KBAR 102.3. And our program is brought to you by the members of the Copper Country Education Association and by the Copper Country Veterinary Clinic, providing the highest quality in medical care to help their patients live longer and healthier lives. Now, in the second half of the program this morning, Sam Ali will be talking with Brian Mensch from the Michigan DNR about the upcoming wildfire season. And my guest in the first segment is Norm Kamerad, who is with the Committee to Restore Michigan's Part-Time Legislature. They are trying to garner signatures for a ballot proposal this coming November that would roll our legislature back to part-time status. Going to find out about that, see if it's a good idea or not. And I welcome Norm to the program. Norm, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for allowing me to be here today.
Why should Michigan go back to having a part-time legislature? We've had a full-time legislature for more than a half century now.
Well, most of the young folks today are probably not familiar with the way things were in a part-time legislature, but they have been familiar with the past 50 years of existing under the present part-time the present full-time legislature, the reason being is we have done a financial decay in this state ever since many of your younger viewers or younger listeners have been in, probably alive. There's been a consistent financial decay of our industrial infrastructure. Jobs are not as easy to come by. China is now beginning to eat our lunch, per se. When I was actually a younger lad, I've seen a lot of the industrial manufacturing in Detroit. Detroit was a mighty machine. It was 100% on all eight, probably shortly after the 1960s. As the 60s began to fade out along with the 70s, there was a consistent inroad made by the state to constantly feed its growing nature, its growing in infrastructure, to the point where it has finally made it so that nobody in our state now can go out, get a job, advance their careers, have the ability to even have, today you don't hear of retirement pensions anymore. That's a thing in the past, and now health insurance has been is now becoming a thing of the past. That was something that was actually very much so engaged with, obtained, procured, by workers throughout the entire state during my younger years. Now, today, it's unheard of. And this is something that has been ongoing since 1963 when George Romney decided to hold a constitutional convention in our state to change over to a full-time legislature. We're one of only four states left in the union with a full-time legislature because many of the other states have already seen, hey, it's not good to have them. Texas is one of them. Utah is another one that is doing far better than we are. There's 46 other states with part-time legislatures now. We're one of only four, Michigan, New York, California, and Pennsylvania. And I got news for you. I was out in Pennsylvania here about 4 weeks ago, and I was talking with people about how are economic conditions there. They're seeing foreclosures throughout Pennsylvania's eastern perimeter like we've seen in 08. And they are picking up. People are telling me my neighbor just lost his house. I mean, it sounds like 2008, 9, and 10 here. And if it was so good, if the legislature was so good full-time, you'd see people like John Engler or Jennifer Granholm staying here and living under the policies that they've made. No, they're taking their pensions from the state treasury now, and they're spending them in Maryland, in the case of John Engler, and in the case of Jennifer Granholm, California. I think it's a no-brainer, as John would say. It hasn't worked. It's not working, and we're continually seeing this decay occur because it's a constant overregulation. You've got right now, according to the Legislative Service Bureau, 1,800 bills that are being manufactured in our state legislature, they're only required to pull out one, the budget. And they and if you, as you've seen with Jennifer Granholm's reign and more, not so much as with our latest governor, Snyder, but you can't even get that done. That's their primary constitutional responsibility is the budget. Instead, they're sitting here talking about what our state bug should be, what our state frog should be. Each one of these bills that they hustle through costs the taxpayer, according to the Office of Management and Budget, $500,000 per bill. That's $900 million a year that they're just charging us to manufacture paper in Lansing when they could be spending that on bridges, on roads. I mean, trust me, everybody says, my road's bad. Well, here's a good place to get the money from, folks. Put your state on a part-time legislature and stop this this industrial bill manufacturing process they've got in Lansing and put the money where it needs to be, on the roads.
So what would a part-time legislature look like under the bill that you are proposing?
I would encourage all of your listeners to go to our website, to parttimemi.com. That's www.parttimemi.com, and go to our Facebook page on that, and you'll see Becky Lockhart, who's the Speaker of the House of Utah. She gives an extremely accurate portrayal of what that will be. Ranchers, lawyers, business people, she gives nurses, teachers. It's a full spectrum because these people now can actually come in and give life experience. When you pass this bill, this is what this means to my industry. It's going to totally annihilate it, or it's going to help it. But I'll tell you how we drafted it in our petition. Right now, the state legislature manufactures these bills behind those four sandstone walls in Lansing, and they continuously do it at a rapid rate in cases where the other day, many people didn't know this, but there were four bills introduced, I think, by Democrats. Not to say anything bad about Democrats. This is a totally 100% Democrat-Republican multiversal issue. But those bills were actually put in, and they were stopped. They were stopped on the floor, but they were designed to give the local municipalities more power to enhance your taxes without a vote. This is what this is going to do. Put you in the game, and then no more having these bills manufactured in Lansing. Now they'll do it in the same manner that they do a brownfields initiative at your local school, at your local town hall, at Sally's Diner. Wherever they publish under the Open Meetings Act, they will say, I'm giving you the opportunity to come out in your area and talk about this bill. When they get to Lansing, the manufacturing process is suspended. The only thing they do there is vote. From henceforth, no more hiding in the tall grass for our legislature. They have to expose it. Secondly, the pay drops to $35,000 a year from this $100,000-plus combined salary and bonuses and 401Ks that they have. That all goes away. That's for the 80 days they're there now. That's going to go to 60 days consecutive from the 80 days where they're there throughout the year. Now it's January 1 to March 1, and you're back in the district, and you're out in the field, and you're helping get out of the wagon and help pull it.
Now, you say that this puts, for example, me in the game. How do I run for the state legislature if it's only going to be a part-time job? Is my boss going to give me 2 months off so that I can go to Lansing and serve in the legislature and then come back to work? Is this not really an attempt to freeze out certain elements of our working society and put the legislature into the hands of wealthy business owners and retirees?
Again, I would encourage you to go look at Becky Lockhart's statement where they actually have one on our Facebook. Without question, that is not going to happen. As a matter of fact, the 46 other states that you see out there have good representation across the district.
So how am I going to live the rest of the 10 months of the year when I don't have a job? Or do I have to find a part-time job?
Well, I'm going to make careers in Lansing a thing of the past like they were prior to 1963. Our initiative, what that does is it says, if you think that raising your pay and taxing everybody is a good thing, you're going to help do it. You're going to help pay for it. If you think it's a bad thing and you think we need to focus more dollars on things like genuine education, not funding 401ks, pension plans, etc., but actually getting involved in the process and being part of it, that's where you're going to be at. When you're actually looking at somebody who's in a factory, you know, that's a worker, he's going to have the option to say, listen, boss, I'd like to go to Lansing and serve my time. Now, I'm an employer myself. I've got engineers, professional engineers here, and I let these engineers actually take time out of their time, and they get paid by other organizations to go out and be part of those beneficiaries. And I still pay them their salary. In some cases, they've asked to take extended time, like up to 6 months, and I pay them a part-time salary. Every employer has that option.
Yeah, but not every... No, I'm sorry, that's not correct. I've been an employer, too, and I've had highly trained employees, and the concept of letting them go when I cannot find replacements for them is daunting for an employer. I'm sorry, you're not being accurate there.
Well,
every employer does not have that option.
I said it was an option, not a choice.
An option is a choice. Look it up. An option is a choice.
Granted, one could argue that.
No, it's dictionary definition.
You just don't have the ability to make the choice in your own mindset.
Then it's not.
If I have somebody come in part time and fill that employee's obligations during that time, you can do that through manpower.
Yeah, but I mean, for every job, manpower has people who are trained to do this, that, and the other everything.
Manpower or
no, they don't. Don't try to.
The only one out
I'm
there.
Sorry, but don't try to weasel out of this. You're not telling the truth.
That's speculation on your part.
No, it's personal experience. I have been there. I had this discussion. This discussion with Mary Brown, who was a state representative back in 1989. I had this discussion when she was trying to push a very extended maternity leave situation, and my wife owned a business at that point. And I said to Mary Brown at the time, if we have to send somebody away for, and I think she was looking for 6 or 8 months, for 6 or 8 months, the only people that I have who can be trained and up to speed and fill that job while this employee is gone is either my wife or myself, because it takes 6 to 8 months to train somebody to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have somebody who is going to be gone for 60 days, but it takes me 90 to 120 days to train anybody to do the job, I don't have that option, do I?
As far as that particular job, you probably would not.
Yeah, tell me I have the option when you know now that I don't have the option.
You're unfairly, though, comparing a regulatory mandate on a business versus a public service that somebody volunteers their time for.
Well, what we're comparing is the option for an employee to take an extended period of time away from their job.
Every employee will not have that option.
So what you're doing is you're saying that a large percentage, a significant percentage of the population who could file and run for office today will not be able to file and run for office if your proposal is accepted.
That is not true.
Without quitting their jobs.
You're using the term large. I'm saying that not every employee may have that option.
What percentage of people do you believe?
They are doing it, and there are employees actually taking part in that throughout. I mean, again, look at the facts. Look at Becky Lockhart's statement on our Facebook, on our website. It's happening in 46 other states, Guy.
Well, I'm looking.
We're one of only four that's doing this.
Well, actually, the National Conference of State Legislatures identifies 10 states as having full-time or near full-time legislatures. So
a form of part-time.
Well,
that's a form of part-time.
What there seems to be is some difference of opinion as to what constitutes full-time. They identify 10 states as compensating their legislators enough so that they don't need to have alternate income.
That state of New Jersey actually is in that same boat. It's in that same boat, even though they're not there the whole year. But my concern, as should be the legislature, is not the pay a legislator determines his career by. It's the constituent by which he claims he represents. 1 million people have left our state as a result of our full-time legislature.
I'm not seeing the cause and effect. You've not given me a cause and effect for that. You've pointed out a moment in time where a decision was made. You have pointed out what has happened since that decision was made. But I've gone through your website page by page. I have not seen you give me a cause and effect. What specific things has this legislative change done to run us downhill? I mean, let's face it, about that same time we opened the Mackinac Bridge. For all I know, maybe we all left because suddenly we didn't need ferry service anymore.
Have you ever seen a Mackinac Bridge built since 1963?
I don't know that we've needed one. Have we needed one?
That bridge isn't even paid for yet. We have been legislating so much in this state, and people pandering votes for pay in this state so much that they have not, according to the Office of Management and Budget's latest report this year, they haven't even paid for that bridge. Cancer never comes on all at once. It comes on slowly. Everybody has cancer cells in their body. It's when it takes root. That's when it starts doing its damage. And by that time, as our state has found out with our full-time legislature, you bankrupt the entity or kill it. In this particular case here, where we're talking about our state legislature, as of 08, according to Representative Dave Ajima, we went $8 billion in the red with a $5 billion income. Now, if this was your radio station that did this and I was your banker, we'd be talking about how to stop the bleeding right now. This state just simply goes out and starts manufacturing law and what contrived means of paying for it. We'll budget this and we'll budget that. But that bridge isn't even paid for yet.
So how were things better?
1950.
So how were
things built?
Well, no, it was actually built around 1956 or 57, I think, is when it opened.
In the 50s, I know. Yeah, you're correct.
But
in the 50s.
How were things better when we had a $3 a day part-time legislature in 1945?
This is a very good question. I've heard the older people tell me about Sophie Williams, you know, about how we had a part-time legislature at that time and how things were hard. We just came out of a depression in the 30s and 40s. Now, according to the older folks that you talk with, you ask them, how long did it take you to get money stored back up from that depression? Most of them will tell you 30, 40 years. We were coming out of a depression. And this is what happens with government. You'll have a climax of something, and it's probably an economic hiccup, although the depression wasn't a hiccup. I mean, that's kind of...
No, I don't think we call that a hiccup.
No, that's like saying the elephant man had a little swelling around the eye. But in this particular, we came out of a fairly depressed era. Well, George Romney at that time started saying, well, why don't we bring our legislature in here full time? And it looked like just the most grandiose idea. But the problem is there was no vision on what that thing could become. There was very easier ways they could have possibly enhanced the part-time legislature that they had at the time, or possibly look at maybe somehow enhancing its ability to more connect with constituents and improve the economy.
But wasn't that legislature one of the most corrupt in the nation?
Well, I would argue that probably the U.S. Congress probably qualified equally with that.
Didn't Fred Green, our governor, call it the best legislature money could buy? Didn't a lobbyist named Charles Hemans testify in court in 1946 that special interest groups considered themselves the third branch of government at that point because the pay for the state legislators was so low that they all took bribes?
You know, if you look at the R.E. Slaughterhouse decisions of the state of Louisiana in 1911, 1914, under Justice Miller of the United States Supreme Court, he said it clearly. This isn't something that was manufactured in this country. It was manufactured in England, where they were attempting to do licensure schemes in the state of Louisiana, removing people's liberties and immunities, which is occupation.
What does this have to do with a part-time legislature in Michigan?
Simple. You cannot blame anything that happened in the 30s as a result of the part-time legislature that existed in that era. And that's where I'm saying the government used that to try to enhance its argument to go to a full-time legislature.
But in 1946,
they knew exactly what they were doing.
In 1946, didn't Representative Raymond Snow plead guilty to corruption charges, stating that he had tried to turn down bribes but finally had to take one because he couldn't live on the salary? I mean, Michigan's legislature at this point is still regarded, Michigan's legislative process is still regarded as one of the dirtiest in the nation. Why would you turn the clock back to that?
Because of what this legislature just did by its own actions. It bankrupted the state because it pandered votes for money throughout the past 30, 40 years.
But didn't Michigan have huge economic crises back in the 1920s and 30s as well?
Well, I worked for Lehman Brothers here during this last recession, and I'm going to tell you something. We were throwing, you know, you had Jennifer Granholm saying, let's go have dentists, doctors, let's have even lawyers in our state. Get away from manufacturing because we don't want to admit we just overtaxed them out of the state. What we're going to say is we just need to go to these new educated ideas. Guess who I was throwing out on the street for Lehman Brothers when I was doing my job to try to recover the loans that were made on the good graces of this state's ability to carry its economy forward and make it better. It was doctors, lawyers, dentists. These were people that were supposedly under Jennifer Granholm's idea for cool cities. I was throwing them on the streets, and I got news for you. I got a guy that worked, a friend of mine, my best friend, worked for Bank of America. They were throwing people out of their homes at a rate of 25 per week. That's what your full-time legislature just did for you in the last 50 years.
I just don't see how your proposal, and forgive me, I don't see how your proposal would prevent a part-time legislature from doing the same thing and perhaps make it worse by making it more open to corruption.
Oh, simple. Look at the proposal, and it's clear. It's clear on the petition. One, they're there 60 days. Two, they're no longer in a career format inside of the legislature. Three, every bill they now produce is no longer going to be shuffled out of committee onto the floor for a vote after a small change is made. It's got to go back on the Internet for 5 days and be published so firms like the Mackinac Center and other individuals that are trying to sit here and look at what our state's doing can actually publish it to the people and say, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this bill. They just put something in it, and we just seen it on the Internet. The other thing it's going to do, if you look at our petition very closely, they're going to have to take every dime they take in as a legislator, and, you know, for expenses, whatever. That's going to be published on the Internet now. We're going to have something in this state that the Russians called glasnost, except this petition, by constitution, is going to invoke it directly on that legislature.
Norm, I've got to wrap things up here, and I apologize for cutting you off here, but I wanted to give you, before we wrapped up the program here, I wanted to give you one more opportunity, and we've had some kind of spirited discussion here. I've tried to push you on some things because not necessarily because I agree or disagree, but because there are questions that people have asked me about this proposal.
It's very fair.
But I do want to give you one more opportunity to mention your website in the about 30 seconds we have left here.
Yes, it's www.parttimemi.com. It's www.parttime, all one word, M-I, like Michigan, .com. I would invite all of your people to go there, get on our Get Involved, click on the Get Involved, and look at the clickable map there, click on your county, get petitions in your neighborhood, become part of this. This is a citizen-driven effort. No PACs are funding this with $300,000 to $400,000.
And Norm, I've got to cut you off because I've reached my time limit. But thank you so much for your time today, and maybe we'll be able to talk about this again sometime.
Well, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
And Copper Country Today continues in just a moment.